This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu, wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi, wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as individual beings. And on the day of Qiyamah and on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account of us based on our individual responsibility, based on our individual acts, good or bad, vice or virtue. And according to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us. Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah has created you alone, and Allah will bring you forth on the day of Qiyamah alone to account for your deeds. And that is the reason why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of your deeds before Allah Ta'ala take account of your deeds. وَزِنُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا. And value and evaluate your deeds and weigh it before Allah Ta'ala weighs it. So there is no doubt that we are individual beings and we will be held accountable individually. Infiradi taur par, hum Allah Ta'ala ke saamne khare honge. Aur Allah Ta'ala ne jab hume paida kiya to hum akele is dunya mein aaye. اور اللہ تعالیٰ کے سامنے جب ہم پیش ہوں گے تو اکیلے ہی ہوں گے. ہمارے ساتھ کوئی کنبا نہیں ہوگا, کوئی ہمارے رشتہ دار نہیں ہوں گے, ہم اکیلے ہی ہوں گے. We will be alone. However, there is no doubt whatsoever that together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us social beings. We can't live alone. We can't live where we are alone and we don't have responsibility towards the people whom we are living with, and responsibility to the community and society that we are living in. Agarche hum infiradi taur par hum is duniya mein aaye, lekin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne hame ijtimai taur par bahut sare tafseelat aur hukm diye hai ki hum ijtimai taur par logon ki dekhbhal rakhe aur logon ke bare mein hum soch aur fikr kare. So we are supposed to be social beings. That is the reason why we as people, we interact with people. We meet sina dar sina. We meet chest to chest. In the animal kingdom, for example, when an animal shows another person a chest, it means that I have submitted to you, I have given up. But we human beings, we meet chest to chest. We are perhaps one of the few species that meet in that particular way. Because Allah Ta'ala wants us to be social beings, to interact with people. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, المسلم الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم خير من المسلم الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. A Muslim who intermingles with people. He deals and he interacts with people. Logon ke saath baat kare. And he mingles with people. And he makes sabr upon the inconvenience. Milne mein to kuch na kuch takleef aur dushwari to hogi. He is better than the person who doesn't intermingle. And he doesn't have to bear and make sabr upon the inconvenience of people. Ab hamare ya kya hai, what we do is that we feel by, I just go to the masjid, mujhe koi kisi se lena dena nahi, I don't have to worry about anything, I don't want to interact with people, I just go to the masjid, I come back. That's not the way of a Muslim. Nabi Akram Sarsam said, the Muslim who intermingles. And intermingling, you talk to people, you take care of their needs, it is better than the person who doesn't intermingle. And he doesn't have to make sabr upon the inconvenience of people. Allah has made us social beings. Allah has made us people who care and worry about the spirituality and about the difficulties of other people. Ya Allah. I can't overemphasize this aspect. In Surah Yasin, Allah has made mention, and we all read Surah Yasin. Chahe wo dusre surat hum pare ya na pare, lekin umumi taur par jo hai na wo musalman fajr ke baad jo hai na Surah Yasin to par hi leta hai inshallah. Maybe I have a good expectation that we normally read Yasin Sharif every morning inshallah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized his reading. Whoever reads Yasin, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah will take care of his needs for the whole day. So now in Yasin there is an incident of a person jisko Allah ne uska naam bhi nahi zikr farmaya. Allah didn't even take his name in the Holy Quran. Wa jaa rajulun min aqsal madinati yas'a. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam kisi jagah aaye, they came to one place, logo ne unke upar iman nahi laya. To ye aadmi jisko baad mein tafsir mein hum kehte hain ki wo Habib Najjar tha, he was Habib the carpenter. Ordinary person, carpenter by trade. But Allah makes mention of him in the Holy Quran. And he said, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ. From the outskirts of the city, this person came running. And he said, يَا قَوْمْ اِتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. O people, follow the Anbiya. Anbiya ke jo hai na, aap mano. So, uske baad, logon ne unko shaheed kar diya. They killed him. They martyred him. Or Allah Ta'ala says, قِيلَ الْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Jannat mein dakhil ho jao. Go to Jannat because Allah, you have been martyred. Go to Jannah. And in Jannah, he said these things, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. After he is in Jannah, oh Allah, قَوْمِ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. If only you can tell my people how, because of me bringing iman upon the Anbiya, bringing iman upon the truth, how you raised me and how you honored me. This is the fikr a believer has for his people. That Jannat, after going into Jannat, he's still worried, Ya Allah, those people who haven't brought iman, Ya Allah, tell them how you have forgiven me. وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. You have honored me. Subhanallah. This is the way a believer interacts. This is the way a believer worries about other people. He don't worry. मैं तो जन्नत में पहुंच गया, मुझे किसी के बारे में क्या सोचने की क्या जरूरत है. Why should I worry about people? I'm in Jannah. In Jannah, he's saying, Ya Allah, show my people. And not only with regard to spirituality, even with regard to worldly difficulties. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a famous hadith, he is not a believer, he is not a mu'min who eats to his full when there are people in his neighborhood who are hungry. वो कैसे मुसलमान हो सकता है कि पेट भर कर खाए और इनके जो है ना वो पड़ोसी में और उनके नज़दीक लोग हैं जो है ना वो भूखे हैं. How can he be a mu'min? How can he be a believer? A person who is full, eats to his full, and there are people in his neighborhood who are not satiated and who are still hungry. He has not fulfilled his responsibility as a believer. One amazing hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that Allah showed me a person who is in Jannat. Allah showed me a person who is in Jannah because he removed an offensive item that was in the road. It was giving taklif to people. He removed it. Allah Ta'ala granted him Jannah. To what? To keep and to take an offensive item from the road in which people were using. He used it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I can see him enjoying himself in Jannah. Brothers, this is what we are. We are collective. We are people who are of the collective. We are not only people who worry about our own, and only worry about, we are people who worry. And that's what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He was a man of the community. He was a man who brought people together. He was a man who interacted with people. Sahaba said, never did we ever see a situation that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam greeted someone, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first to take his hand away. Aisa kabhi nahi hua. Never happened. Whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw someone with his eyes, he was never the first to divert his gaze away from people. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a person of the people. When he came to Medina, he brought people together. When in Medina, there were different types of people. There were the three tribes of the Jews, right? The Bani Nazir, Bani Qurayza, and Bani Qaynaqa. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a pact with them. When the Muslims, Muhajir and Ansar, one from Makkah, one from Medina, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne unke samne muakhat اور بھائی چارگی کا جو ہے وہ رشتہ قائم کیا. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم brought them together in brotherhood. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was extremely worried about the oneness of this ummah, keeping the people together, keeping it as a community. Even with regard to reaching out to people who are non-Muslims, we all know the famous incident that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and visit a Jewish youngster who was sick. Ya Allah, hum kehte hain ki sunnat ki pairvi karo. Humne kitne martaba ghair muslim koi hamare wo ilake mein koi bimar tha, humne ja kar bimar pursi ki. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. How many times did we say that someone in our particular vicinity, there was a person who was sick, even if he had to be another person from another faith, did we go and visit him? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and visit a Jewish youngster. The incident is a very famous incident. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to him, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bring iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my prophethood. And he looked up towards his father, and his father said, Ati' Abul Qasim, follow Muhammad, follow Abul Qasim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was also known as Abul Qasim. And he became a Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out of his home saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadahu min an-nar. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted him salvation. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is how you and I, we believe in this particular matter. We as a nation, as people, we rise and we fall together. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a very famous incident and the very famous example of two groups of people who are in the boat. One on the upper deck and one on the lower deck. And the people of the lower deck said, why must we go and fetch water every time from the upper deck? Today what we're going to do, we're going to make a hole in the ship and we're going to get water which is in the ocean or in the river or in the lake, whichever we are traveling in the boat, and we will get water to our heart's content. Why must we go upstairs? Why must we go and plead with the people who are on the upper deck? Nabi Kareem Sallam said, if the people of the upper deck allow them to do it, not only will they drown, even the people of the upper deck will drown. And this is a reality. Yeah. Our as ummat, we rise together and we fall together. Aise ho hi nahi sakta ke jo hai na hum akela ek firqa or one small group of people are going to be in salvation and the other people are going to be not on salvation. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day ya Rasulullah, anuhliku wa fina salihun, will we be destroyed when there are pious people in our midst? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, إِذَا كَثْرُ الْخُبْثِ. If evil becomes dominant in the community, even if you are pious in your masjid, you also will be destroyed. What have you done with the intention of bringing the entire community upon the right? You can't sit in the masjid and not worry about what wrong is happening in the community. So even if you are pious and the people and the community is not righteous, you can still be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this teaches us we have a collective responsibility. So part of this whole particular aspect of our collective responsibility, a very important responsibility upon us as believers, is to worry and take care and concern about the situation in Palestine and the sanctity of Palestine and the sanctity of Al-Quds. And I recited the verse in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if we only hear this verse at the time of Mi'raj, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. Glory be to Allah who took his banda, who took his bondsman, Ajib, on the greatest elevation of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran calls him with different titles. Kabhi kaha sirajam munira, kabhi kaha ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. All great titles. But on this occasion, which was one of the greatest in terms of his elevation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne kya kaha? Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi. Glory be to Allah who took his banda, who took his bondsman, who took his slave. To be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest accolade, the greatest honor. To be a slave of anyone else is not an honor. To be a slave of another human being is not an honor. But to be a slave of Allah Ta'ala is an honor. So this is, one thing that Allah Ta'ala took him there and took him from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Barakna hawlahu. The surroundings of which we have made blessed. And the ulama say that the entire Sham, not the Sham, Syria, as in the nation state of Syria, the way you and I know it today, But Ard-e-Sham is an area which includes Jerusalem, it includes Palestine, it includes part of Jordan, parts of Lebanon, and part of what is today Syria. It is barakna hawlahu. Allah has made it blessed. This whole area is blessed. How much do we pay attention to that which Allah in the Holy Quran has made mention with regard to its blessedness? Allah in the Holy Quran says that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was going towards, you know, towards Jerusalem. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Qawm, udkhulu al-ard al-muqaddasa. Ya Qawm, enter into the blessed land. Allah Ta'ala ne usko jo hai na ard muqaddas kaha hai. Aaj jo hum kehte hai Baitul Muqaddas, Baitul Maqdis, ye isme Allah Ta'ala ne farmaya, udkhulu ya Qawm, udkhulu al-ard al-muqaddasa. And into the blessed and sacred land. This is the second masjid that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was established in this earth. Abu Zar Ghaffari radiyallahu anhu says in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Ya Rasulullah, which was the first masjid that was put up on this earth? Is dharti par sabse pehle masjid kon? To Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kaha masjid haram. Fir farmaya uske baad kon sa? To Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam farmaya masjid aqsa. Second masjid after masjid haram. To then Abu Zar asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what was the time difference between the two? Dono mein kya farak tha? Time ke aitibar se. To Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka 40 saal. 40 saal ke baad Masjid Haram sabse pehle was established. After 40 years was Masjid Aqsa. And throughout history, we find that the Muslims always had first Qibla. The first Qibla of the Muslim was Masjid Aqsa. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards Masjid Aqsa. For how many months? Allah knows. At least in Medina Munawwara, we know it was 16, 17 months. Makkah ke bare mein ulama ka ikhtilaf hai. Did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam face Makkah Baitullah or Baitul Muqaddas? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam normally used to read salat in such a way in the direction of both Kaaba, Baitullah and Baitul Muqaddas. Lekin Medina jab aaye, it was two different directions. So they 16, 17 months in the direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Mubarak and blessed journey of Mi'raj. Allah Ta'ala could have taken Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly from Makkah into his presence. Mi'raj ke waqt. But what did Nabi Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala first took him from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa. Ulama ne likha hai, uske johana, usme hikmat hai. There is wisdom in that. One of the wisdoms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ulama, right? And Mona Idris Kandelwi rahmatullah alayhi also has made mention with regard to it. And our ulama have made mention with regard to it. That all along from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, all of them came from Bani Israel. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from Bani Ismail. So Allah Ta'ala transferred Nubuwwat from Bani Israel to Bani Ismail. And Allah Ta'ala took the Nabi of Bani Ismail, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, into the place which is the markaz of the Bani Israel, the ulama of the Anbiya of Bani Israel. And Allah Ta'ala took him there and Allah Ta'ala made him perform the salat as the imam of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala. And this is the only place on earth where all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam jointly perform salat together. Was in Masjid Aqsa. So this is the greatness of Masjid Aqsa. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, whoever reads salat in Masjid Aqsa, 500 times more reward than the salat that you and I are reading in our masjid. 500 times more. And in one riwayat, 1,000 times more. So this is the situation. Now when we are not only people who worry about our individual reformation and our individual situation, we look at the collective. This is part of our collective. We are supposed to worry with regard to Masjid Aqsa and its inhabitants. Hazrat Maymuna bint Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala one day asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah, what do you say about Masjid Aqsa? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a place of blessedness and the place of resurrection. Because many of the signs of Qiyamah will take place around Masjid Aqsa. Many of the signs of Qiyamah will take around in the vicinity and the region of Masjid Aqsa. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked, what must I do? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and perform salat in Masjid Aqsa. Ya Rasulullah, what happens if I can't perform salat? Go and send oil to be burned in Masjid Aqsa. If you can't go yourself, go and send oil to be burned in Masjid Aqsa. What does it tell you? It tells you we are supposed to have a fikr and we are supposed to have a care and concern with regard to it. That aap nahi ja sakte ho, to kam az kam ye to karo. Go and send oil to be burned in Masjid Aqsa. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Mishkatul Masabi that whoever performs and makes his umrah and wears his ihram from Masjid Aqsa and then goes and perform umrah or hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe away all his previous sins. And I know of people, I made mention of this, how many people from South Africa now they go and they wear the ihram from Masjid Aqsa and they go and make umrah. Hamare yahan jo hai na hamare masjid ke sathiyon mein se hamare in our particular masjid there is a person who helps people to go for itikaf in Masjid Aqsa. Few years back, 250 people from South Africa went for itikaf to Masjid Aqsa. And I believe here also in UK, a lot of people go. This is something that has recently, because of the ulama speaking about it, because of the efforts of organizations like Friends of Al-Aqsa, this sanctity has come into our minds. But this is something that our Nabi taught us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that go and take oil to be burnt in Masjid Aqsa. Subhanallah. And this has been throughout history. We had throughout history, there has always been the situation that Muslims always turned towards and they looked upon Masjid Aqsa as something very, very sacred. Sahaba went there. Shaddad bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried. And when you go for ziyarat there, you know, at this particular place, they take you to the qabr of Shaddad bin Aws. Sahaba are buried around in the vicinity of Masjid Aqsa. That when the Muslims conquered Masjid Aqsa, and when they came, so the people who were in charge of Masjid Aqsa, at that time they were the Christians, and Sophronius, etc. was the religious figure that was there. He told us the Muslims and said, we are prepared to give you Jerusalem, but bring your Khalifa. So Sahaba ne mashwara kiya. Ki jana Umar ko kaise bulayenge wahan dur se? Chalo hum hi jab kuch nimat lete. So we will try and do it. So they put forward different people and said, maybe you can give the keys of Jerusalem to this person. So Amr ibn al-As ko samne rakha. Kya naam hai Amr? He said, achha, his name is the same that is made mentioned in our previous scriptures. But his appearance is not the same. Then they put Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid aage. So he said, Khalid bin Walid, you know, his appearance was like Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Naam pucha Khalid. No, no, naam sahi nahi. To likha, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala called up a mashwara. Right? So is mashwara mein Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that, oh Umar, oh Amir al-Mu'minin, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied that we will one day take Masjid Aqsa. And now they are prepared to give it without bloodshed. Why don't you go? Why don't you go and fetch the keys? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala went. Now you can think and you can, you know, just think about this. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is leaving Medina Munawwara to get the keys of the blessed and the sacred city of Masjid Aqsa, which Allah Ta'ala has made mention of in the Holy Quran, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Alladhi Barakna Hawlahu. So he must have gone with such great shan. What great type of, you know, retinue he must have gone with. What must be his delegation? What must be his entourage? Today one leader goes to another country, he would take a whole plane load of people. Umar radiallahu anhu went with one person. One slave with him. And he used to share the camel that they used to have. Half the time he used to be on the camel, half the time the slave used to be on the camel. They came to a place called Jabia. The Muslim people who came there, they came to welcome Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and all the other sahaba, they came to welcome Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then when they saw Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on his camel and he was on very plain clothes. They told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, oh Umar, tomorrow when you go into Jerusalem, then you must go with the mule. Because people don't like here, you must travel with a camel. The mule, if you travel with a mule or in a horse, there is greater respect and dignity. And oh Umar, look at your clothes you got, we'll give you a jabba. We'll give you a nice, oh, something to wear. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, okay, he took it. But the next day when he went on to this particular conveyance, it started strutting. He started showing some form of arrogance. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, keep your conveyance, give me my camel. Leave your jabba, keep it and give me my kurta. And what did he say? Nahnu qawman a'adhanallahu bil Islam. We are a nation that Allah Ta'ala has given us dignity by Islam. Not by outward appearance. Not by the car you drive. Not by the conveyance you travel with. Not by the area you stay in. Not by the houses that you live in. Unfortunately, you and I, we are all in the same category. We think that status and respect and dignity are in these things. Umar radiallahu anhu said, our status and our dignity is not on this outward appearance. Our status and dignity is in our morality, in our adhering to the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told us, if you leave these things, Allah ta'ala will disgrace you. And if you think that your status is in something in, Allah ta'ala will disgrace you. So in this particular way, Umar radiallahu ta'ala went. And in Jabia, the people came from Jerusalem. And they came and they said, what are you going to give us? What are you going to deal with us? We don't have the capacity. You are very strong. That time Muslims were very, very powerful. You know, not only in numbers. Today we are also powerful in number, but in terms of power, authority, taqwa, goodness, righteousness, they were in power and authority. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, we will give you complete freedom. You can practice your religion. You can practice your religion. You can even go in your church, you can keep it. You can practice. I always say these things. When Muslims are strong, they are tolerant. When Muslims are weak, they are intolerant. Tolerance is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. Intolerance is a sign of weakness. Today that we have become intolerant is a sign of our weakness, not a sign of our strength. When Muslims were powerful, they were tolerant. Umar radiallahu anhu could tell them, go, I have given you freedom to practice your religion because you are strong. When you are weak, you can only beg for mercy. You can't dispense with mercy. When you are strong, you can give mercy. When you are strong, you can dispense with mercy. When you are weak, you only beg for mercy. There's a reality. Sultan Salim, when he took over Jerusalem in later years in the 15th century, that time even the non-Muslim rulers and the non-Muslim religious subjects, they brought the agreement Umar radiallahu anhu had with the people of Jerusalem that we will give you freedom of religion. We will allow you to practice your religion. Sultan Salim of the Ottoman Empire took and he said, this is the agreement of my Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is the agreement of my Amir al-Mu'mineen. He put it upon his eyes and he said, we will also do the same thing. We will also do the same thing. We will also give you the freedom of religion. We will also give you the freedom. And we know the incident that Umar radiallahu anhu was outside a church when it was a time for Salat. And the person of the church told him, come and read Salat in here. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I would have performed Salat here. But if I perform, the Muslims will say the Amir al-Mu'mineen led here and they would take over your church. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. So Umar radiallahu anhu went into Jerusalem. When he went into Jerusalem, the first thing he asked Sophronius, he said, tell me, where is the masjid of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam? Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam ke masjid ka hai. Where Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to make ibadat? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of sawm. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak highly about the ibadat of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah makes mention of it in the Holy Quran. If tasawwar wal mihram, that he used to make ibadat in his niche, in his mihrab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is it? So according, I was just reading one article and one book recently. They took him to one place. They said, maybe this is it. Umar radiallahu anhu said, no. Our Nabi told us the place. It's not the same place. The matlab ye hai ke Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne us sahaba se us waqt bataya tha ke masjid aqsa ke ye tasawwur hai. This is how masjid aqsa is. So Umar radiallahu anhu saw it, he said, no, this is not the place. Then took him to another place. He said, no, this is not the place. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it. And there was, of course, we all know in Mi'raj, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and told the people that I went in a portion of the night to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then in the presence of Almighty Allah, the Quraysh tried to belittle and tried to falsify what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. So they said that if you went, then show us, you know, Masjid al-Aqsa. They asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions about Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I couldn't remember, but Allah Ta'ala put the image of Masjid al-Aqsa in front of me, and I could answer them according to the image that was placed in front of me. That's a reality. If you go to any masjid, and after you come out of the masjid, koi aap se puche, isme darwaza kitne the? Isme kirkiya kitne the? No one will know. You don't normally go and count. But they asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave them specific answers because Allah Ta'ala put the image in front of him. So Sahaba might have known from that or from other occasions. So Umar radiallahu anhu, the third place they took him. The third place they took him, it was filled with debris, filled with filth. And he said, yes. Umar said, this is the place. This is the place. Umar radiallahu anhu went into that place and he started cleaning the place. History books record that he even took dirt into his kurta and he was taking it and placing it on the side. After he had cleaned that whole particular place, he had cleaned the whole area of Masjid Aqsa. He asked the Sahaba, he said, where should we put up the masjid? Now in there was a rock from which our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu traveled from there in the presence of Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Miraj. And that is where the dome of the rock is. So one of the Sahaba said, oh Umar, make the masjid behind the dome of the rock. So in front of you will be the dome of the rock and the place of the Masjid Aqsa, or the place, you know, where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went. You know, so both of them will be there. The masjid also will be there. And so Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't like the idea of placing a masjid behind the rock, because it gives the impression that we are making sijda in front of the rock. So place it in front of masjid, dome of the rock. And that's where that blue masjid is. Huh? So this is the way our Sahaba had such great of attachment. And throughout history, that particular attachment was there. It was to Marwan who put up this most beautiful structure of the dome of the rock, with such beautiful architecture, with such beautiful type of stones in there to show the Muslims' attachment to the place. And throughout history, it has been like that. Our ulama have been there. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi wrote portion of his magnum opus in that Ihya'ul Ulum in Jerusalem, in the vicinity of and in the precincts of Masjid Aqsa. So my dear respected brothers, to conclude, let us say that we started off our talk by speaking about our individual responsibility. Allah وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah has created you alone, and Allah Ta'ala will make you come and account for your deeds alone. But together with that, we are a social being. We have collective responsibility. Part of our responsibility is to look after the collective. مُسْلِمُ الَّذِي يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ. A Muslim who intermingles with people and bears with patience the inconvenience is better than a person who doesn't intermingle. We are supposed to intermingle with people. We are supposed to care for people. We are supposed to worry about people. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one sahabi came and said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the greatest good deed I can do? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the greatest deed in the eyes of Almighty Allah, idkhalu surur, to give a Muslim happiness. Musliman ko khushi ponchao. Give him happiness. So we are people of the collective. And part of our collective, together with other examples I've given, one of our collective type of fikr and concern should be the collective concern we as an ummah should have with regard to the sanctity, the blessedness of Masjid Aqsa. Today we have forgotten it in many ways. Alhamdulillah, there are organizations who are trying to revive that particular situation. And I gave many examples with regard to the sanctity and blessedness of Masjid Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you another tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.